Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
This is Pam Shriver.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Let's go right back. When you started working with Novak, what did you think coming into his team that he needed to do that he wasn't doing at the time?
It's very tough, you know, when you come with a player like that who is he won everything, and then me coming in like. Thinking, okay, now I'm going to change something. I mean, you don't change something. You try to improve something that he was doing already almost perfect. Like serve, like maybe attacking more, like hitting better volleys, like positioning at the net, maybe bigger forehands. But you don't come, okay, now you're going to change this and that because it doesn't work like that. So... he is an institution, you know, he is the biggest tennis player. So, but I had, actually, I have to say, I had a luck that Marian Wajda was still there. And he helped me a lot, helped me, you know, okay, my way of approaching the things. But, you know, we were doing some tournaments together. So I, you know, I was observing, looking, and I spoke a lot with Marian. But that was also what helped me. I know Novak, I was following him and I was with him on the court before I became his coach, but opposite side of the net. So I know how it's that functioning and mentality, language, everything was easier for me.
Yeah. And now that you've, now that you're stopping working with him, what do you look back at and think you helped him with that maybe, I don't know, maybe you're most proud of, maybe you can see now in hindsight what was the biggest impact you had in a positive way on his game?
I don't know. I mean, this guy is a genius, you know, and this brain of his working different way. But, you know, I think he improved his serve first and second. Oh, I thought always that his serve was always underestimated a lot. I think he was serving unbelievable and got all of those matches he won, serving unbelievable. I think volleys much better, actually positioning in the net. He won a lot of big points also last year coming to the net with the volleys. So, and all these 5 years, you know, I'm maybe most proud that it was not easy 5 years, in meaning not without with our relationship, but with all the corona, with all the shit was happening, vaccination, no vaccination. Then 2020, this when he hit that linesman, he got disqualified. So it was us against the rest of the world. It was not easy, but I'm proud of that. We stick there. We were there for him, and he managed to overcome everything and made unbelievable results, especially last year, one of the best if not the best tennis year in the history.
Yeah. And so given that it was one of the best years that we've ever seen, why are you not working together anymore?
Because you get tired. You know, the car, after some kilometers or miles, you know, they go to the service and they need to check the oil and all the shit, you know, what you have to put in the car. Also me was, like I said before, was not easy 5 years, you know, that you have to fight everybody. And being his coach, you're always on the spotlight, you know. If you're clapping, if you're not clapping, if he's telling you something, if you this and that. And I understand that. So I got, I got a little tired. He got a little tired of me. I got a little tired of him, but nothing we never had fights. We had a nice talk actually last year after Torino. And, you know, in the end we didn't, you know, maybe we should stop then, but he said one good thing. There is no good time or there is no bad time for something. There is only timing for, you know, so after US Open, actually, last year in America, I felt that it's close to the end. So I didn't know if it's going to be end of the year, in the beginning of this year, but I felt that I'm not enjoying. I was there, I was motivated, but it was something, you know, missing. I got tired.
Mm. Was it you who suggested to him recently that it, you know, I think maybe now is the right time?
I know, we actually, what helped, I mean, after US Open, I had this 6-7 weeks, I got a surgery on my knee, so I was not for Bercy. So in Torino, after Torino, we had a nice lunch, me and him, we talked, you know, plans, he said whatever, you know, was in his mind. I said what was in my mind, but was no suggestion. Like I said, you know, there is no timing. There is no good time. There is no bad time. So then Australia came, we went for the preparation, Australia. Okay, result was not ideal because when you talk about Novak, only wins. Everything else is not, it's a failure, but you know, there he lost to the guy who is unbelievable, you know, who is not 100% in your mind, you cannot win. So, and then in the States, now when I went to Indian Wells, I kind of knew it, you know, I kind of knew it. And then after the match, we sit down and we said, okay, this is the best time, best way. And I'm glad that I went there because we sit down and talk like a, because we had a really great 5 years and was only, you know, right way to sit down and talk to each other. And we're always going to be friends. I'm always going to have unbelievable respect for him. So it was perfect timing, let's say. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, maybe people say, okay, why you didn't there? But that was it. Nothing happened. He's still number one in the world. So I did not leave because he's 50 in the world.
Yeah.
He's number one. So nothing major bad happened.
No, went pretty well. You know, the last 5 years, we've, on the tennis podcast, we've watched all of Novak's matches, and we've watched all of them with half an eye on you, because there's often conversations going on between you and Novak, quite loud ones. It's very entertaining for us to watch. What was what was typically going on between the two of you? What was being said? What were you thinking? What were you feeling?
You know, people first, they don't understand. It's not that he had that relationship only with me. You know, he had the same with Marianne. Same with Boris. It's now he's like this, and I understand. We spoke a lot about that. I said, man, during the match, everything is allowed. It's important that you win the match. Other thing, and you know, you've been to all these tournaments, the courts are so big, and it's tough to hear. You know, half of the times I don't hear what he wants. He's yelling from 20 meters. I hear him, he doesn't hear me. And then it's very tough to communicate. And it was not, okay, only good thing that we spoke the same language. So it was easier, but it was not easy. You know, it's a big court, very loud, and he needs help. Sometimes he asking for the help for the shot that I thought he's doing well, but I don't have time to explain to him, hey, man, your serve is well. You need to fix your forehand. But he's yelling, what's wrong with my serve? But nothing is wrong with your serve. So I don't have time for explain to him. So you have to say something. You have to say something to calm him down, just for him to try to find a moment. But it was tough, and it's not easy. You know, it's not easy to sit there. Everybody's watching. I'm also nervous. I cannot do anything. I can stand up, clap, yell, whatever. But I think for me was okay. It was nothing that was something was bothering me in that communication. That was how he's communicating. This is a lot of stress during the match, and somewhere you need to get out of this stress. So it was okay.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? We see it a lot with Andy Murray, a need to just let it out, I suppose. And you, back in the day.
Yes. Okay, I was more pissed with my record. You know, yeah, that's how they communicate. You know, they need to get out of the stress. And I said, man, you can yell, well, you can do whatever you want, but just win the match, who cares? You know, what you're saying, what you're yelling. It's just too much pressure, too much stress. You need to get out of your system somehow. You know, people don't understand what, and especially him, that, you know, if he loses a set, it's like disaster, or match, it's even more difficult. But, you know, so it's not easy. Not easy, but I think it was not a problem at all for me.
Mm. Yes, I do remember you taking it out on your racket, particularly in Brighton.
Particularly in Brighton, yeah.
Okay. So when he would come off the court in those situations, would you try to explain to each other what you meant and what he was going through? Would you have to try to talk that through?
He knows, but sometimes, you know, just he cannot help it. A lot of times we spoke before some big matches, and then we knew, okay, this is semifinals or final Grand Slam. Maybe crowd is going to be more against you. So don't give them any, you know, more with your, don't fight with anybody. Try to stay calm and not to look at us less. No, if you have to, you have to. But after the match, yeah, I know. Sometimes we talk, sometimes we didn't.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't regret anything what happened during the match, especially if he wins the match. Who cares, you know, he's yelling or not. It's important that he wins the match.
he's made a lot of changes recently to his team. Obviously, you've made this decision together, it appears. But he has all reorganized his team, his manager, his spokesperson. A lot of changes. What do you think he's looking for at the moment?
I don't know. You know, in this stage of his life, you know, I don't know. You need to. He won everything, and if he doesn't play one match ever in his life, you know, nobody can say anything. The guy won 24 Grand Slams, won everything that is possible to win. So maybe he's looking for something else. Maybe, you know, it's tough to motivate yourself every day. Maybe he's looking for some other people. You know, it's tough to know what is in his head. But you know, he knows what he's doing. I think in his life he made that part always a good decision. So I don't know. We will see. You know, time is going to tell what was good or bad the decisions. But I don't think he's going to lose himself in the way. I think he's too big, too popular, too good. That is going to hurt him in any way.
You mentioned that he's won 24 Grand Slam titles. Do you think he wins 25?
I think yes. I think definitely. You know, he needs to know what he wants at the moment. You know, he's just and show up the A. You know, you have A Novak and B Novak. If A Novak shows up on the court, then you. I always bet on him. But if B Novak shows on the court, then against these guys, especially Jannik, Carlos, and let's say Medvedev, you know, you have a problem. Then, you know, you cannot, need to be there. You need to be there. Definitely, I think he wants to win the Olympic Games. That's his biggest goal and wish. For that, he needs to do, you know, do well on clay and prepare well for Roland Garros. So he's there. He's there. He didn't forget how to play tennis. It's just a question of motivation and how he enters the court.
You mentioned the Olympics being his biggest motivation. Is that something you two ever talked about?
Oh yeah, we talked a lot. And you know, he has some disappointment for us, especially last Olympics when he had set and break against Zverev and he lost the match. And then he lost for third and fourth place. That was even more biggest disappointment. So I think he wants it very badly. He wants it very badly. Only thing, you know, it's best of two winning sets, so it's, you know, best of five is different. Best of two, so, you know, anything can happen. If you're not concentrated, match can go quickly. But I think he's gonna be ready. He's gonna prepare well, and in French Open, I think it's gonna be beautiful Olympic Games. So I really wish him that he wins that gold.
How long do you think he'll play for?
That's a good question. I have honestly no idea. Body-wise, physically, he's unbelievable. So he can play at least 2 years, unbelievable level, even three. But two, let's say. But only this thing of motivation, you know, that was working before for him, you know, you play and then you don't play for 1 month, 2 months, and then you come to the tournament and he could do it very easy. And now it's tougher and tougher, you know. don't play one to month. You come to the tournament, you know, everybody's hungry, everybody's ready. So it's tougher and tougher, that kind of scheduling. But with him, like I said, is motivation. If he's motivated and if he's ready, he can play on this level for sure two more good years.
You've seen up close the two guys that have beaten him at the last two Grand Slams that Novak didn't win. That's Carlos Alcaraz at Wimbledon last year and Jannik Sinner this year in Australia. Which of these two guys do you think is going to be Novak's biggest problem over the next 2 years? And which of them do you think will end up sort of having the better career?
Oh, I am, first of all, a big fan of both of them. They are unbelievable, great guys, first of all. Very humble, very nice. Really, I don't know which one is better. Plus, the unbelievable tennis player. at the moment, I have to say, Sinner is the hottest tennis player in the world. He won 25 matches out of 26. He's unbelievable. He's just playing great. It's interesting. They are different kind of players. Different kind of players. They all both very beautiful to watch. They play different. These two guys, they're gonna have a lot of good matches. With Novak, if Novak shows up, I always put my money on Novak. But we saw in Australia this year, he was not kind of there, and then you cannot show up like that against Sinner. Sinner was too good. That Wimbledon final last year, 1-2 points, could be different match, but in the end, I have to say, Carlos played amazing, and deserved the win. But these two guys, for me, are, if you put Novak aside, I don't count Novak, they are one, when Novak leaves, they are one step ahead of everybody. But now we have, okay, this big four, like, you know, these two of them, Novak and Medvedev. Then I would put also there, but he's always, you know, kind of surprised when I think he's going to win. He doesn't, it's Zverev. And Rune. But Rune is also, I don't understand what he's doing with the game. He's playing well, then he's losing 1-1 to somebody. So, but these two guys, when Novak stops, they are different level. They are a little bit in front of everybody.
Goran, what are you going to do now?
I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to rest. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to the European Championship in football. Watch that little bit, Croatia playing. Then I have Umag. Then I have a summer. I miss summer, you know. I don't know when I had more than 2 weeks summer in Croatia. So I'm going to rest at least till September. And then I will see. I would like to coach again. I would like, I think I still have a lot to give. And after Novak, everything is going to be walk in the park. So it's. I'm looking forward, but for the moment, I'm not interested in anything, anybody, just enjoying.
So don't get your applications into Goran until September, is the message.
Something like that. Yeah.
Do you think you'd like to work with? You've worked with now. I think about it. Marin Cilic, Tomas Berdych, now Novak, and you've sort of turned around Marin's career and helped him win a Grand Slam, and you've helped Novak a heck of a lot, obviously. Would you like to work with a young player, like a really young player starting out at all, or do you not?
Actually, yes. Okay, I had a luck that I could work with unbelievable guys like Marin and Tomas. Unfortunately, Tomas was in the end of his career, but a hell of a player. Miloš is another unbelievable player, but many injuries. And then Novak. Yeah, that is kind of, I would like to do that, you know, younger guy that, you know, we can do something together from the beginning. So that would be ideal, but nothing is ideal in the life. So we see. I'm not going to say this not, this yes. I'm just going to, let's say, enjoy. And then when the time comes, I'm going to see what's going on, and then I'm going to decide.
Mm. Final question, Goran. What was the absolute highlight for your time of working with Novak for you?
Highlight?
What's the moment you'll remember most and most happily?
It's tough to pick one moment. There were a lot of tough moments. But, you know, all these Grand Slams that he won, then especially last year in Australia, coming after this 2022, you know what happened. So that was a kind of special moment when I see him. And us was not easy for us also, but I cannot pick one moment like, okay, this is it. There were so many amazing matches, amazing moments, amazing times. So it's just, you know, every time he wins the Grand Slam, makes you feel proud.
Yeah, lots to be proud about. And now I know you've got all this free time to come and see West Bromwich Albion with me.
I hope we're gonna watch together this magic Wembley match. You know that we're gonna boing, and I think it's time that we go up.
I think so.
A long time we were, I think it's the time. It's always something happened for the reason, you see. So I think it's the time. I think it's a sign of God. Because this is the time. Now you have to split with Novak so you can go to the Wembley and watch West Bromwich go up. Yeah, see? It's always something.
Oh, I wish you well, Goran. I wish you well. Have a good summer.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.